I'd like to welcome everyone here. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I ask our county administrator if he has any additions or corrections.
We have a couple items. First, under public hearings, I would like to suggest that we change the order of the public hearings and make change of zone 1627 follow 1628.
And the reason for that, Mr. Baker?
At the Planning and Zoning Commission, Mr. Robertson disqualified himself, and I thought rather than have me sit through a hearing to get to the last one, if you change the order, then I could leave, and Mr. President, you could run that last hearing. But it's not a necessity, it's just trying to economize on the amount of time you're paying me.
I only charge $175 an hour, so we'll do that. Anything else, Mr. Baker?
And then under executive session, we did not have a property acquisition item at this time.
Okay. Does the council have any other additions, corrections, or deletions?
I don't have any of those as far as the way it's lined up. But I want to ask in the future, if the agenda, when it's posted online and, you know, in writing, could it be made more explicit for the public? It just says, for instance, for the hearings, it'll give a name, it'll give the name, the title of the application, a CZ so-and-so or a CU. But it doesn't say where the place is, or the people have asked me for more information so they can understand whether it even affects the where they live.
More
information, who, what, where, when, how, addresses, that type of thing.
If there is no objection, why ask the county administrator to consider this and get back with us with his thoughts at a later meeting?
Sure.
Yep. That's
fine. If there are no other changes, I'll ask for a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as modified. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Approval of the minutes. Robin, what particular minutes have we to approve tonight?
February 3rd.
Make a motion we approve February 3rd minutes.
I believe I can ask if there are any changes or corrections to those minutes, and if there are not, I can declare those minutes approved by acclamation.
Does not require a vote. You can vote, but it's not required.
All right.
Keep it moving, and without objection, those minutes are approved. Reading of the correspondence, Mr. Griffin, have you anything?
I think there are a couple of items here. We have a letter from Hudson Health Services, Inc., thanking council for a contribution that benefits the Towel House, which I believe is a halfway house for people who are making recovery from chemical dependency. Then a letter from the Ark of Delaware thanking council for a gift that they indicate they are using to advocate for the rights of children and adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities. That's all the correspondence, unless somebody has something they'd like to hand down.
If there are none, we will move on to the county administrator's report. Mr. Baker.
The first item is voluntary group hospital opt-out option. And with us today, we have Mr. Dennis Cordry, the county personnel director, and we have been working on this suggestion for your consideration, which would allow employees to opt out of group hospital coverage by the county on a voluntary basis. Currently, because we do not require a contribution by employees for individual health coverage, by law, we are required to insure all full-time employees for group hospital insurance. If we required an employee contribution of only $1 per year for single employee health coverage, then the full-time employees are not required to be covered by our health insurance, and they can opt out. And we do have some employees who are covered for group hospital as part of their pensions that they've earned from other employers. One in particular that suggested this, but Mr. Cordray has made a list of employees that, in our best guess, may be eligible and may not be interested in taking advantage of the county's group hospital program. And we have, and he has come up with 8 employees as an estimate of the number that would elect not to have county group hospital coverage because they're already covered by their previous employer. Anyway, this would result, if 8 employees opted out, this would result in a savings of roughly $5,958 in fixed costs per year, plus $115,359 in deposits to the self-fund to pay claims. So it is a substantial savings depending on the number that apply for it. It would require a $1 contribution once per year from employees, which I don't think would...
I'll go around and collect it for you.
Yeah. So
great idea.
So thus, we are recommending for your approval this proposal, which would require a $1 per year employee contribution, but at the same time would allow employees to opt out of county group hospital coverage that is now required.
Does that apply to those who want to be opted out or every employee? It's just only the dollar for the ones who want to be opted out.
No, it would be for
every
everyone.
Employee.
Yeah.
Oh, every employee.
But once. It would be once per year, and that their group hospital carrier has indicated that would be sufficient. So, this is actually it would require a change in our plan document, and this is a copy of that. But
maybe we could ask Mr. Cordray to come up since he...
Well, a county can pay it.
So generous to stay behind.
You have to pay it.
Dennis, is there a downside to this program that you can identify?
Pardon me?
Is there a downside to this that you can identify other than one?
I don't know of any downside, no. It's all positive.
It's all what?
It's all positive.
All positive. Well, certainly the opportunity to save $120,000 roughly.
Right.
Is something that we appreciate you working on, and kudos to the employee who kind of brought it to our attention. Are there any questions from the council?
Great.
Sir, I do have a motion if you'd like.
Please, Mr. Baker.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves a group hospital plan change whereby, one, employees would contribute $1 per year for group hospital coverage, and two, employees would be allowed to opt out of county group hospital coverage.
Could I get a motion to that effect?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the amendment to our group health policy. Are there any questions from council?
It does say a one-time payment.
Yes.
Of $1 per year.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. If not, I will call for the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, Danny.
The next item is public notice signs for zoning hearings. And with us today, we have Mr. Lawrence Lank, who has done a lot of research on this. And he has a proposal to provide larger signs, which was basically a result of the inquiries by the county council. I know Mrs. Deaver brought this up at an earlier meeting. And I'll let Mr. Lank explain, but basically the proposal is to double the size of the signs, and he's handing out a letter he wrote that pretty much explains it.
Are these letters available to the press or to the people in the audience here? We're just going to read it, Mr. Lank? Okay.
What I tried to do was look at what we do presently, and we've done it for many years the same. We took had fun with a Xerox machine one day and kind of blew up the sign, make it a little bigger. As far as I could go to make it bigger, playing around with the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another one too that Vance brought in. No lettering on this one. I can put the letter side up, but I didn't.
It's what, vote for something like that.
Yeah, I left that part out. If I can go through this memo real quick.
Please.
I mean, the council has expressed interest. We've had this conversation about the size of the signs for 40 years. It comes up on sometimes a regular basis. The signs are posted for the purpose of advertisement for public hearing before commission and council. It's a joint sign posting for change of zones and conditional uses. The same poster is used for the purpose of subdivision notice for the commission, ag preservation districts for the commission, board of adjustment cases for variances and special exceptions. So it's the same basic sign, but using a different sticker. So that's just an example. The sticker could be bigger. Presently, they're 12, 18, and they're put on wooden stakes. If they have bad weather, they don't last very long because they're cardboard, basically.
And they got to be out there how long?
They have to be posted. They could be gone in minutes.
Right, but I mean, typically...
Some people take them, some people knock them down, some people destroy them.
No, I'm saying when you put one out...
It's about 30 days prior.
Okay, to the one hearing. Then there's the second hearing. So they could be out for 60 days.
One for the commission council, could be out there longer because it's going to be an additional 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks
right,
longer.
Okay.
Yeah. So that could be 6 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
That's the number.
We've been doing this for about 20 years using the same sign. And again, they're poster boards, and I tried to just, in the past, before that, we used real estate signs, which are metal frames with a metal or tin insert painted similar to that sign, except it's more like the size of the bigger one, or more this size.
That one, right?
Yellow, black print, and it showed up a little easier. They were vandalized, stolen, used for yard sales. We found them all different ways, and we lost probably over 50%. That's why we went to the cardboard on the stake, and that was the reason. That was the only reason. What we propose here is to increase. We propose to increase it in size to the one to the. I will say to the left. It doesn't show the sticker because the sticker would have to be enlarged, and that could be a 16x20 or 18x24. And we would use the corrugated fiberglass or plastic signs similar to the political signs that were used during the last several elections. And they stake those out on the wires. So you have a little crosswire. You can actually push it down into the ground. And it's a lot better than the inspectors having to carry a staple gun, a sledgehammer, and a board. You got it in the field and hit the board. Sometimes they split and have to do it again. So that happened on occasion. And those, we have a poster sign with the sticker and then a backing poster sign on the back that's blank, and they have stapled them together. The bigger sign that you see on the floor, which I flipped around just because it was a political sign, has staples. It's stapled also, and it's cardboard. So again, what we've proposed to do is go to a larger sign. To us, the size doesn't matter if we're going to use that type sign. It's just whether or not it'll hold up in the wind. When you just put it on the small wires, how big a sign can we go? I don't know how big we can go.
Those real flimsy wires?
Yeah, they're corrugated fiberglass or plastic, and the wires actually go up into the plastic, and that's what most of the political signs were. But again, the political signs were probably on the average with those two sizes at the top. The one at the bottom, I've got the wires on it, so what we see there is actually shows the wires. I then looked at the cost and tried to show you what the costs were. And the cost that we've seen in the last year, we had $420 in the wooden stakes, $187 plus for stickers, $994 for signboards, came out to $1,600 plus for what we do now. I then reviewed the number of public hearings that we have to post, and I used an average. I took the last 2 years because they've been steady, pretty steady.
Excuse me, Mr. Lank, $420 for
total,
what?
Total. $420 for the wooden stakes that we put the signs on, just the stakes.
Oh, just the stakes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And $187 plus for the stickers, which are the yellow pieces.
But the applicant is paying these, right?
The applicant pays a fee for the application, and it's included in that cost.
So the applicant is paying for it.
We take that out of what we collect for the $500 application fee. So then we looked at the number of applications that we held, And we average about 15 change of zones per year, 46 conditional uses, 51 subdivisions, one or two ag preservation districts. It varies. There's not very many anymore. It used to be there was a lot. And then Board of Adjustment, there's 312. They go anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 public hearings twice a month. So that totaled out an average in 2 years of 427. 6 or 8 months ago, we'd received an estimate for the same thing, to go to the corrugated plastic to get the wires. And we received a bid on, just not a bid, but a price estimate for 200 signs and the wire stands that hold the signs that were $750 a piece for the sign plus the wire. It came out to $1,500. Then taking that number of public hearings we have to post, came out to $3,202.50. I know that if we acquire 500 or 1,000, we're going to get a cheaper price. The more you get, the cheaper it is. And basically, that's my report. I just wanted to show you what this figures are.
Let me solicit the council's opinion, if I could. It may be that we don't make a decision tonight because there is a lot of information to process, but we did want to hear what he had to say and offer him any of our thoughts. Ms. Deaver, have you anything else?
Well, yeah. I think for big projects like the Wannandale treatment plant that was, we had so many people say that they hadn't seen the sign, and the area is so large. I was kind of picturing 4x8 wooden sign, at least. That's a big project. And when we're talking about hundreds of acres of land, I think the public has a right to a very large, substantial sign, and we should charge the applicant for it. That's my opinion. I mean, that's what I expected. Mm-hmm. But I know for these Board of Adjustment, these little Board of Adjustment hearings are important too, but I think can we gauge the size of the sign according to the size of the project? Is that legal? I mean,
well, then I think it becomes an opinion of staff as whether or not it should be a certain size.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then you're going to get objectors from the people mm-hmm. saying, why did we get the bigger sign instead of the small? So whatever we do should be the same.
Mm-hmm.
The one I talked to Brian before the meeting, and he said, I asked him about what they're doing. Kent, he said, Kent does do 4x6s or 4x8s or whatever.
Of course, they're better than
right. The applicant creates a sign at the instruction right. of the counties, from what I understand.
I like that.
So then they pay for the sign, they erect it.
Yes.
So then you have to be able to set up how the applicant posts the sign before you can advertise for your public.
And if they would replace it if it's damaged or missing, they would replace it.
It's their loss, I have to assume.
Their loss.
We have to verify that, which mm-hmm. we can do.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Vinson?
I agree the sign needs to be bigger, but I am fine with the recommendation of the staff.
Mr. Wilson?
I travel around quite a bit, and usually a small sign of 18 inches or something a little bigger than what you got there, or even that notice sign, I see that hunters have signs up like that, private property owners. It says notice. From there, you go up there and read it. If you really want to know, it says public hearing, you proceed a little further. So we can make all kinds of advertisements, but it's foolishness to think we need 4x8 signs and all this kind of nonsense, when I think that people in that area knows what's going on. It's been advertised in the paper, everything else. So why are we going to these great expenses and all these extra trouble? I don't understand. So I don't think we need to really change too much.
Thank you. Mr. Cole?
Well, the larger sign appeals to me because I've heard many, many complaints over the years. But I think we ought to, following up on Joan here, when it is a big project and maybe it faces two roads, do we put them on each road?
We have on occasion, not all the time.
Not all the time, okay. Right. And then also, if something has a lot of frontage, you know, a little sign stuck in the middle of it all, you know, you kind of lose track of what you're looking at. So maybe we ought to have some policy, and maybe the application should be separate from the cost of the signs based on the project that they're applying for. So it may require a number of signs, and we can just, use the larger sign and place them out if we think more needed, but bill it maybe to the application.
The majority.
Maybe a different. Also, is it going to be black and white like this? Like, I think Sam brought up something.
We could change the color. That's not a problem.
Well, I would, yeah, because when you do go buy a lot of the, you know, during hunting season stuff, you got a lot of, you know, notice, you know, posted no trespassing. There are a lot of them are black and white like that. I think we ought to come up with a color.
The sign used to be yellow with black.
Right, yellow and black is
pretty,
really jumps out.
And it was about equal to or the same size, maybe just a little bit bigger than the second one to the left.
Right. So my thoughts are go with a bigger sign, go with a different color, and then maybe, you know, there might, maybe it should be a policy on how many signs are needed if it's a big project, small project.
It'd be easy to just state any road, and if multiple road frontage, you put multiple signs out. So every road frontage has a sign. It's not a
or how many, if it's like a lot of frontage on one road, so many feet, there should be a sign or something like that.
Most applications are typically on one road frontage.
Right.
And some are on corners, then you put two. If there's a through lot, you put a third.
But I've seen those little wiry signs, and they do react to the wind.
We have a lot of wind here.
The rigid one, like you were talking about in the old days, doesn't. It's more substantial.
But they were, and they were metal frames.
I know it.
But they were just, as I said, they were vandalized. They were
when they're stolen. Expensive, they're, you could tie up some money into those.
Yeah, you were spending some, and your storage is an issue there because you're dealing with. We had probably 50 signs we would use on a regular basis, and the staff then has to go out and pick the sign back up and bring it back and redo it.
Right.
So you got an additional mileage, so you just go retrieve it.
Well, we could have the applicant do this.
Okay. Mr. Wilson asked for another moment.
Is it not true, Lawrence, that we send out mailings to all these people that live within the neighborhood?
We send notices out to everyone within 200 feet of a site as a courtesy. It's not required by law.
I know, but I'm just saying.
It's posted on site, and it's posted in two newspapers.
So most people are already notified by mail. And they're notified by paper. Is this not true? Aren't it? Isn't it put in the paper that people can read this? That there's about to be
it's been posted
public
in two
hearing?
Newspapers, right?
Okay, so we're covered by newspapers. We're covered by mailing, and now we're trying to come back to large signs. The first thing I know, we'll be talking. Here we are to put it up in Spanish. I mean, after all, let's not be reasonable about these things. This, I just think it's ridiculous to think. We need bigger signs.
The one public hearing process that's different is the Ag Preservation Districts because they're a state ordinance. They get notified within 300 foot. Is there any difference?
Mm-hmm.
I think you understand the council is very cost conscious these days, so I trust that the recommendation you come back with in a future meeting for us to vote on, we'll respect that. But I agree with Mr. Vinson. I think we're going to need to hear your recommendation, and hopefully it'll be...
Mr. President, we're talking about... We collect money from the applicant
yes.
to pay for this.
Correct.
It pays for itself, is what I understand.
I'm entitled to my opinion.
Well,
John, you're sitting here like you think applicants just got plenty of money.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Let's wrap this up, please. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
I want to thank Mr. Lang for giving me that summary of the pending changes in land use in my district. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
I'm doing the same for the other county.
Thank you so much. That is really helpful.
Mr. Baker.
Okay. The next item is bill approval list on the county website. And in an effort in response to concerns brought up by the county council, in an effort to provide additional information to the public, we will provide a copy of our bill approval list, our weekly bill approval list on the county website. The information will be scanned in each week and placed on the website. The list will show the date paid, the payee, the amount paid, and miscellaneous reference information. Reimbursements to employees are not included since they include some, we have a dental and vision plan that's HIPAA. There's federal laws that would not allow us to include
okay.
that. So the list will be accessible on our website under online services, under finance administration, and under accounting. So if there aren't any questions.
Then you don't have to mail them out to us now. We can look at them if we want on home. That'll save some money because the envelopes won't be so heavy.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, we could actually yeah. we could email them to you if you yeah. like.
Email anything.
Easier?
Yeah.
It's not critical information.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. I compliment you and the staff on this initiative for more open government and transparency.
Yeah, I've got a question. David, is this disbursements?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there, could you, you say bill. I'm getting the impression it's something we owe, but you mean disbursements.
Yeah, these are bills that are paid by the accounting and finance
Dispersed.
Department
okay.
each week from
paid bills.
Various
okay.
offices
gotcha.
Or... You know,
gotcha.
All kinds of
okay.
Items.
A little bit like a
great
check.
Idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Continue, Mr. Baker.
Okay. The next item is the subdivision appeal process. For subdivision appeals, we require that the appellant, how do you say that? I'm sure I get it.
The appellant.
Appellant.
That's why you were never a lawyer?
Yeah. The appellant supply copies of transcripts of hearings, and that is required by county code. And a suggestion was made to expand the code to require transcripts of not only the public hearing, but additional discussion of the Planning and Zoning Commission that occurred maybe at a later meeting, and then the decision that may also have been a later meeting. And Mr. Griffin has put together for discussion he's taken our ordinance and made some amendments to it with the help of Mr. Lank, I'll let Mr. Griffin explain.
Okay, I'll pass this down, one for each of you. In looking at it, the parts that are underlined represent proposed new language. The parts that are in brackets represent proposed deletions. I put this together just for you to essentially to be able to review it and then come back at a later time, possibly, and have a more formal discussion on it. The one thing that is not changed on here is that once the decision is made by the commission and the appellant files a notice of appeal under the existing ordinance, within 30 days after they file the notice of appeal, they're required to file the certified court reporter's transcript that gives you the entire record of the hearing, the discussion, and any action taken by the commission when they voted. We have received some indication that some of the attorneys who represent the parties who are filing these appeals would like more than 30 days to get the transcript, because we've had, as you know, several letters come in saying, I'm having trouble getting a transcript. Can I have some more time? A couple of them have come in a few days late. So that's not a change represented here, but if it's a change you'd like to see, I can revise this further and get it back to you at a later date.
Is that a legitimate concern on their part?
Well, we have had it happen that people have said they couldn't get the transcript. Now, the court reporters can go on the live feed and get it, but it's a question of what else the court reporter may have to do and when they have an opportunity to get to it. Mr. Lank may have some thoughts as to whether anyone's told him that 30 days is a little tight. I suspect it probably is.
Mr. Lank?
The 30 days is probably a little tight. The problem I've heard from the court reporters, if they go live feed, they're, say, sitting at home or in their office trying to figure out who said what, and they don't know who they are. Because every time you state George would speak, he doesn't say, I'm George Cole, so they don't know who it is. So they have difficulty, and they need someone like from staff to, sometimes we come in here and listen to the tape with them to identify the voices, and after we identify them two or three times, then they pick up who it is. So they need that extra time sometimes to get in
days.
To listen to the recording so they can hear.
Give us a number.
45, I would, 60 would be the maximum I would think they would need, but 30 might be a little tight. 60 is a round number.
Make me a motion, Mr. Cole.
Jim, 45 or 60? What do you think? You're the attorney. You know better.
You tell me. We're not introducing this or acting on it tonight. So just, you know, just somebody give me an idea of what they...
If you make it 60 and you go to public hearing, you can reduce it to 45, but it's already more than 30.
That's true.
All right, we'll introduce
it. About if it's
that's not a bad idea. How about if I make a motion that we...
I don't think we need a motion.
Okay.
Change it. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Without objection, we will include the number of 60 days in the ordinance, which can be reduced at public hearing if that becomes a concern. Mm-hmm. Are there any other suggestions, Ms. Deaver?
I was just wondering, is it appropriate to explain that is something that, what you're saying is that the current law does not require that the discussion and action be sent to the council as part of the transcript.
That's true. This
time? Okay. Okay. So we have received a partial transcript in the past, but it's been... Okay, because it met the letter of the current law. Okay. Has it ever been waived not to supply the transcript at all in an appeal?
Well, an appeal of this type, a transcript is required for counsel to act because you don't hold a hearing at this level.
Mm-hmm. But you have to have the transcript.
To hold those hearings, but it amounted to counsel holding a hearing that sometimes would go for a couple of hours on something that had already been through mm-hmm. a hearing at the lower level. So the thought was to try to minimize counsel's
right.
time by
mm-hmm.
getting the transcript and letting everyone read that.
Right, but if the can the counsel waive that and go ahead and vote on the appeal?
Well, they probably shouldn't. Because without the transcript, how are you going to know what was said at the commission level?
Okay, just asking. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Vincent?
Not a thing.
Mr. Wilson?
No comment.
Mr. Cole?
No comment.
Okay, well.
There are a couple of other points that I
please.
Just wanted to make. On page 2, and B, right in the middle of the page, this was the underlined part there is an option for action that does not now appear. And I pick that up from the fact that the commission sometimes does that. If the commission gets one that they think may have some merit, but they don't have enough information to go ahead and give it final approval, they can approve it as a concept, tell the person what they need, get back to us, give us the additional information, and then we'll take it up and give you preliminary plat approval. This would allow you to do the same thing if one gets appealed up here. Say we approve it as a concept, but go back to the commission, satisfy their requirements, and then they'll approve it. The other thing, let's see, in H, on the very end of it, the reason that there's some underlining there is that in the current appeal ordinance, it says that a condition that is placed on an approval will not be the subject of an appeal to the council. However, despite saying that, it required the person to go back to the commission to ask the commission to reconsider if they had a condition they didn't feel they could live with. Despite that language, several got appealed up here on conditions. In fact, the majority of what we were seeing was on conditions rather than denials. So what I've done there is to revisit that to make it read that in order for a person to appeal a condition itself, even they were approved, but they just got a condition they didn't like, in order for them to make that type of an appeal, they must first go back to the commission, ask for reconsideration, and unless the commission denies, they couldn't then appeal to us unless the commission denied the request for reconsideration, or they still didn't like the result they got from the commission. So I tried to put a little sharper edge on that since the majority of what you're seeing relate to conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it made some sense because we had a number that would just appeal the condition straight here without trying to go back and work it out with the commission.
Yeah, I may have to give that some more thought.
Okay.
Are there other points?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's it?
The only other thing, I've added the synopsis, and that's it. If you'll give me your thoughts about where you want this to go, then I can put it in a more complete form, and we can put it on the agenda for discussion and possible introduction.
I'll consult with my many constituents on
okay.
this.
We will revisit this at a future council meeting.
Yes.
Mr. Baker?
Yes, and then the next item I have is the county administrator's report. And the first item is Governor Markell budget presentation on February 16th, Monday at 6:30, and on March 4th at 6:30, Governor Jack Markell will host a budget presentation in this chamber, in this building, and attached is a copy of the press release. Also, the pension committee will meet on February 12th at 9 a.m., again in this chamber, to discuss investments of the pension fund. The third item is the Delaware Department of Transportation Capital Transportation Program public workshop on February 18th from 4 to 7 p.m. DelDOT We'll hold a workshop at the South District Admin Building on the highway in Georgetown. The workshop will provide a chance for the public to review project plans and provide input, and again, attached is a public notice. The fourth item is Sheriff's Office telephone scam. As per the attached press release, the Sussex County Sheriff's Office has been misrepresented by fraudulent callers. An unidentified caller has called local residents requesting payment in advance for documents to be served. The Sheriff's Office does not require a payment in advance for serving court papers or other legal documents. If anyone is aware of additional calls in this fashion, please contact the Sheriff's Office or the Delaware State Police Troop 4, and the telephone numbers are there. And then next, the fifth item is pre-disaster mitigation grant. As per the attached letter from Mr. James E. Turner, Director of Delaware Emergency Management Agency, the Sussex County Council has been awarded a federal grant for 75% of the cost of preparing an update to the Sussex County Mitigation Plan. The county share of the cost is estimated to be $7,700. The local share will be encumbered during this fiscal year from the Emergency Preparedness Administration Department budget. As noted in Mr. Turner's letter, by participating in updating this plan, the county will, quote, continue to be eligible for both the pre-disaster mitigation grant and funding and the hazardous mitigation grant program funding, unquote. These funds have been used in the past after flooding in the Long Neck, Oak Orchard, and Seaford areas. So when there is a storm event or a problem, these grants are sometimes awarded, and by updating this plan, we will be able to participate. We will continue to be eligible for those grants in the future. Legislative update, realty transfer tax. Attached is a draft of a bill which has not been introduced at this point, which would decrease the share of realty transfer tax for counties and towns from 1.5% to 1%. The additional revenue to the state of Delaware would be used for funding school construction. The impact on the Sussex County Council would be a $5 million decrease in revenue this year from our already depressed levels. This is equivalent to a 9% reduction in our current general fund budget for revenues. This particular bill affects the counties as well as municipal governments in the state. As in the past, our staff, Mr. Godwin, and myself especially, will continue to object to reductions in the county share of realty transfer tax revenue. And as part of our budget presentation, we have put together a list of some items that are funded by realty transfer tax and could be considered for cuts if there was a major change in the funding of realty transfer tax. And some of the examples are airport industrial park projects, which are economic development, primarily for economic development, library expansions such as Milton at the Milton Library, county sewer grants, which help keep our sewer projects affordable, grants to the state police for the additional 40 state troopers in the county, town local law enforcement grants, $25,000 for each town police department, paramedic hazmat program, fire service funding. These are some of the, I think, town grants, again, for the realty transfer tax, where their portion of town realty transfer tax is low. Other grants we could look at, again, open space purchases, conservation district, housing assistance program, and the University of Delaware Ag Extension. So, I mean, these are items that we've identified in the past. It would certainly be a decision of the county council if we had to, if we faced this kind of cut in revenue, but certainly it would be have a drastic impact on some of the services that we help fund.
And in addition to all of these, our paramedic program is funded from the real estate transfer tax?
That's correct, yes.
Does the council have any thoughts for Mr. Baker?
I admire all the work you've done and how you've handled it, Mr. Baker. I'm looking at a couple of things that maybe not such big numbers, but Our real estate taxes are some of the lowest in the nation, and I hope we're being vigilant on collecting overdue real estate taxes. I hope that we are pursuing that and that they are so very low, that we take a look at our policy and compare it with other jurisdictions. I believe that maybe we should look at expanding the airport for additional revenue and possibly looking at the leases that exist there, make sure they are market. And I believe that we should look at the idea of a stormwater utility. These are just some ideas of ways of our bringing in more money and expanding, our income sources without having to raise taxes.
It's my understanding in a couple of weeks our finance department will be sharing the 2009 audit report, and along with that, they'll be addressing some of those issues. So it'll be a good time for that discussion. Anything else from council? Mr. Cole?
I was just looking, David, on the grants to the state police. I've had a number of people come up to me and, question that one. How many police have we funded additional over the years? I mean, what are they
right now?
What do they have now that we have funded the extra?
Right now, we are 40 state troopers.
How many?
40 above the state allotment for state troopers in
now,
Sussex County.
This is the question I have. Does it require us to continue funding it every year so these 40 continue getting salaries?
There is an opt-out provision for either the state or for the county.
So if we cut back on our funding, would the number 40 would be reduced? Is that what I'm trying to find out?
We'd have to look closely at our agreements with the state.
Okay.
I mean, there are three agreements that we've entered into over time, and we'd have to look at each one.
So the formulas that all three counties use with the state police, we have whatever that formula is, we've got an additional 40 over top of that so that other counties, Kent and Newcastle, don't have that additional layer of service, right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. I'm just wondering, maybe 40, somebody just questioned, do we need that many additional, to keep funding that many additional troopers?
Well, the agreement, our most recent agreement, would provide funding for four additional, up to 52. Four more per year till we hit 52. However, my understanding is that the Governor Minner's proposed budget did not include for next year an additional four troopers. So her budget recommendation only include funding for 40. Not for 44,
okay.
Which would be, some a little bit of a savings.
Now, is that a breach of the contract?
Well, that's something we can take a look at. Think that's.
And just for my own education here, and maybe some others, the new ones. The fire service funding, is that the building permit surcharge we have, where a percentage is that 500,000? Is that what that number comes from? Or is that a different?
No, this is other.
That's other funding.
Funding, yeah.
Okay.
That is dedicated for the fire service.
In addition to that, we give the building permit surcharge.
Yes.
And how much was that last year, Susie?
In total revenue? Or
how much?
It's a pass-through. That fire service enhancement's a complete pass-through. We collect it on the quarter of a percent.
Right.
And as we collect it, we pass it through every quarter.
Okay, how much was it? Do you remember? I mean, ballpark?
Oh, it's probably less than a million, maybe just over the threshold.
Okay. I just wanted to know if it was a lot of money or a little bit of money. I think you.
That's a lot.
Okay, it's a lot of money. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so, right. It's running about a.
Okay. Now it's running. It's not even. It's only about.
Now.
For fiscal year 2009, it's running about 850.
Right. It's down.
But in 2008, it was, I believe just hovering around a million.
Anything else, Mr. Cole?
No, I got that.
Mr. Vincent?
That's pretty much it.
No.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you.
Susan Webb, Finance Director.